Okay, I know that it was 4 years ago that we entered this very strange time here in the United States, but for some reason, it seems like it was just yesterday we heard news stories like this.
One term you are likely hearing a lot about to help deal with the coronavirus is what is known as flattening the curve. Epidemiologists say if not enough protective measures are taken, there will be a sharply rising number of cases. That would strain the capacity of our health system. But flattening the curve is achieved by taking strong measures like physical and social distancing to make sure the number of cases increases more gradually.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. We're going to spend some time today and a little bit this week remembering where we were 4 years ago here in the United States. As we approach the month of April and hope to see a better springtime than we had been seeing with the coronavirus and people holding out hope, America paused everything for 2 weeks, for 15 days to flatten the curve. I can remember working in emergency management at the time, as many of you know. I remember talking with this individual. She was the manager of a group of radio stations in the area. Her husband had a business, and they were trying to determine if his business was deemed essential or not essential. Because, as she put it, the amount of money they're offering for the 2 weeks for us to stay home and do nothing could put the new business they had into peril. And that term, essential, non-essential, became a very dividing point for many people, including myself. I started thinking, since when is a human being not essential? I mean, what is considered essential? We learned during this pandemic what essential was. Government, hey, we're always essential. And we can work now in our pajamas from our house and do it on Zoom and keep our paycheck and our benefits just fine. So if you work for government, you didn't lose out at all. I mean, you just didn't. But if you owned a business, a small restaurant, there was a good chance you're going to go out of business. And all of it was by design. Essential, non-essential became something in our vocabulary. Also, the stupidity of walking one way up and down grocery aisles. Once again, no proven science in any of it. Just garbage made up. I really think people like Minnie Mengele, Fraud Fauci, and a bunch of the other COVID clowns, they would sit around with maybe a couple of cocktails and maybe a marijuana cigarette, and they just dream up and laugh at these stupid things they had people do. Yeah, let's have them walk one way in a grocery store. that ought to get them in fear. Make them wear face diapers. Make them stand 6 feet apart. When I first started this radio program, and I'm doing research on where did this stuff come from? 6 feet apart. What science was done? What studies were done? Zero. Never have been done. It all goes back to the George W. Bush administration. I think it was 2005, maybe before. Somewhere in there. When they were trying to think of ideas to stop the spread of the flu, and some fifth grader had sent a letter to the White House suggesting maybe if we stayed 6 feet apart, we wouldn't be sneezing on each other and catching the flu. And somewhere that stupid letter from a well-meaning fifth grader ended up becoming government policy without one bit of study. But then again, government doesn't have to be held accountable. They can do stupid things, and we're told we must believe it. And if you don't, you're spreading false information. You must be shut down and silenced. And you wonder why I get so peeved, angered at these morons in the federal government, state governments, at fascist book known as Facebook, the old Twitter, YouTube, Google, all of these garbage companies that they think they know more than you do, and they're going to tell you what you must think or else. This entire concept of flattening the curve was sold to the American people to make sure that our hospitals would not be overwhelmed. They would probably get close to being overwhelmed even if we did the 15 days to flatten the curve. I also remember getting into this 15 days, still working, mostly now from my hotel room because we're all supposed to kind of avoid each other, though I did come to the emergency operations center for a little bit each day, but we had to make sure there are only so many of us around at the same time and not too close to each other and wearing our face diapering. I mean, all the silly stuff that was coming down the pike. As we're planning for all these thousands of deaths that never occurred, we are spending a fortune setting up remote hospital spaces everywhere we could find, even a nursing school, converting it to a real hospital for the great overflow which we were going to get. We were told we are going to be overwhelmed. Every room is going to be full and we're going to have bodies stacked everywhere. None of it ever happened. None of it. The hospital in the community where I served was not some little tiny hospital. It was a multi-story, pretty good-sized building, parking garage, everything. And not far from it was a nursing college, multi-story, converting classrooms and even what looked like hospital rooms into real hospital rooms. I have videos that I took of tractor trailer loads of equipment being put into these places to be ready for the massive surge and the overwhelmed hospital. And I can remember going by that hospital. Remember, I worked in emergency management, so I was one of the, I was allowed to be out and about a little bit. I mean, I had my correct identification and my papers. And I went there, and the hospital's virtually empty. Floor after floor after floor, there's nobody in the rooms. In the emergency room, they're standing around. Not much going on. The nurses at that hospital, like so many others, had so much time on their hands, they could work on their dancing routines for, you know, for YouTube. You know, the dancing doctors and nurses with their face diapers on, you know, and they're all doing their moves. That's all they worried about. It was insanity. And so obviously all the money we spent to build up this extra capacity for the hospital, zero of it was ever used. Zero. None of it. All the extra morgue space we had built all over the county never was touched. Ever. The biggest problem that they had, and this was pretty much anywhere in the United States, a lot of bodies were stacking up at funeral homes, but not because of some incredible excess death from the coronavirus. It's just you couldn't have a funeral. And so they're holding on to these bodies in storage, waiting for maybe May or June when they can have a funeral again. And that kept being pushed off. We should have been suspicious. And I don't know if I was or wasn't. I really can't remember right now. In all honesty, I really can't remember what I was thinking when we started seeing news stories, particularly from Mind Syphilis, NBC, and anything else. You know, 15 days to flatten the curve may not be enough. We might need to go 4 weeks, maybe up to 8 weeks, but at least 4 weeks. And CNN hopped on the bandwagon. The major newspapers, the minor newspapers, AP, Reuters, all of them began to share this idea. 15 days may not be quite enough, folks. Might need to keep those kids home a little longer. Maybe the entire school year. I mean, here we are. We're almost at April. We only got another month. Let's just stay home and forget all about it. We'll just do e-learning. And then the face diapering. And eventually, certain states allowed you to go back to a restaurant. Now, to me, to this day, the silliest, the most stupid, I mean creepy stupid, I mean insanity stupid. I mean stupid, stupid.
Stupid is stupid does, sir.
What we saw playing out was just total insanity, just craziness. I'm sorry, that's all that it was, total and absolute craziness. Some of the things that we did as a nation had no basis in real science, no basis in fact. It wasn't medical science, it was political science. Hindsight is 20/20, but many people were noticing it then. I began to notice it in my work. Remember, I am up to my eyeballs in this each and every day. I can remember when I left that particular job, ended up back in Florida for a while, had a chance to go to a restaurant that had finally been allowed to open. And you had to wear this face diaper to walk in. You walked in wearing a face diaper, and as soon as you sat down, you could take it off. Now, that made absolutely no sense at all. Number one, the face diapers don't work, regardless of the lies that Dr. Fauci spread and so many others that they are just 100% effective in stopping the spread of the virus and staying 6 feet apart and walking one way in a grocery aisle and wearing a face shield and all of this nonsense. None of it worked. But, you know, I remember as March was giving way to the month of April, and we had been in this 15 days to flatten the curve. There were so many news stories coming out everywhere, just this little subtle news stories by the fifth or sixth or seventh day in. Maybe 15 days is not going to be enough. Maybe we should go another day or two or three. We were being prepared for what was to come. We were being prepared for what I think many people, not so much in the White House, but in government, in the deep state, had already planned. And I remember watching a press conference, as I always had to do as part of my job, and I knew that 15 days was going to be, nope, it's going to go longer. When Dr. Fauci started saying these words. Now, in this particular press conference, Dr. Fauci is talking about how successful the 15 days to flatten the curve have been so far. And then he says this.
So what we're going to see, and that's we got to brace ourselves, in the next several days to a week or so, we're going to continue to see things go up. We cannot be discouraged by that because the mitigation is actually working and will work. The slide that Dr. Berg showed where you saw New York and New Jersey, and then the cluster of other areas. Our goal, which I believe we can accomplish, is to get the hotspot places, the New Yorks, the New Jersey, and help them to get around that curve. But as importantly, to prevent those clusters of areas that have not yet gone to that spike, to prevent them from getting that spike. And the answer to that is mitigation. Now, the 15 days that we had of mitigation clearly have had an effect, although it's tough to quantitate it because of those two opposing forces. But the reason why we feel so strongly about the necessity of the additional 30 days is that now is the time, whenever you're having an effect, not to take your foot off the accelerator and on the brake, but to just press it down on the accelerator. And that's what I hope and I know that we can do over the next 30 days.
Notice how it went from 15 days to just give us another 30 days. No big deal. We'll just kind of roll into May, and with spring and the warmer weather, hey, it'll be just fine. And we'll find some more money for you. You know, the PPE program to keep businesses operating. And the willing and very vile people in the mainstream media that don't even understand the word journalism anymore. It's a foreign word to them. They are nothing more than Goebbels propaganda artists. They don't give you the news. They give you today's talking points from the DNC or from the World Economic Forum or any agency except anything that tells the truth. The highly paid, bubbly head, talking head liars, they were all for, 30 more days ought to do it. They'll get us to 45 days. And then 45 days became 60. And 15 days to flatten the curve became 15 weeks. You know, 3 months, a little bit more. We're now into the summer, no graduations, no proms, no nothing. There were people swimming in the ocean wearing face diapers. It was that insane, that crazy. And they're pushing the narrative. And the willing propaganda artists at the media are doing their part to maintain the fear. Why? We don't want anybody going out to vote in November. We know them waffly Republican. They like to vote in person. So we're going to have drop boxes, mail-in ballots to any human being on the planet. Just going to mail ballots out willy-nilly and just, you know, collect them back. There were so many stories in 2020 about some, shall we say, highly suspect ballots. I will say it till the day that I die and God calls me home. The election of 2020 was bogus and stolen, period. And I am sick to my stomach. I want to vomit every time that idiot broad, sorry, I'm going to say it for what it is, this bubble-headed, talking-head bimbo.
Well, we at Newsmax, we believe it was a perfectly fair and good election.
Now, thankfully, some of their hosts still believe the truth. But every time, like a Trump rally is done, I hit the mute button now. I don't even bother to listen to what these idiots have to say any longer. They're corporate sellouts. They're buffoons. They're phonies. I can barely find anything that's credible conservative media. You even have to sift through the BS with them. Sorry, but you do. You got to go through stinky layer after stinky layer to find the truth. Fox News has been a sellout for years. I mean, I'm gonna just go down a rabbit hole here. Pardon me for just a moment. You know, you got these mega million-dollar personalities at Fox, mega millions a year, and they sell their name to tell you to buy prepper food or buy this kind of gold or that kind of silver or put your money into this or buy. No, I don't. They're nothing but corporate sellouts. And they're allowed to talk about certain stories, but not all of them. If they want to keep that good paycheck, the truth is, shall we say, suppressed to a degree. It is just the permitted loyal opposition, but not all of it. You know, there are some politicians I like. I don't always agree with everything they had to say or have to say. There are a few that I like, and they know their stuff. Early on in the pandemic, I know that the mainstream media was highly critical, but what does the mainstream media know except the propaganda they're ordered, they're forced to tell because they want to stay in the good graces of the deep state, and the bubble-headed bimbos want to keep the big paychecks coming in, and the morally bankrupt people like the, you know, back in the day, Don Lemon or Lamont, whatever, all of them wanted to keep all that money coming in. Or some of them fell to the wayside because they didn't do exactly what their masters told them to do. And they suddenly get accused of all kinds of stuff and they lose their jobs. You have to be a perfect, willing person. Like, you know, Rachel Maddow. She's willing to prostitute herself, her journalism, for politics. We all came through March and heading toward April, like we are now, remembering and hoping that the 15 days, the world would begin to just open up and the sun would shine again, the churches would reopen. How many churches stayed closed for the 2 weeks? Pretty much all of them. I know a handful of exceptions. And then after the 2 weeks, many continued to stay closed. And then they had to have social distancing. I can remember some of the idiotic things that happened in some of the states. Like, you know, okay, you're allowed to have 20 people in your church, okay? My church seats 2,000. You're only going to have 20 people. My church seats 200. You can have 20 people. My church seats 15. You can have 20 people. It made no sense. None of it. But then again, government doesn't have to. They're never held accountable. Because the only people that hold them accountable is themselves. And the voters just don't get it. They keep voting in the same buffoons over and over again. Because it has an R after his name, like a Mitt Romney. Yeah, Romney, give me a break. A lot of them, fakes, phonies, and frauds. But one guy I do like, and he stood out from so many. Rand Paul. Love him or not like him, doesn't matter. But it was about a year after we started the 15 days to flatten the curve that Rand Paul, ranking member in the Senate, said these words.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to welcome our panel today. Welcome to day 367 of 15 days to slow the spread. Proponents of the economic lockdowns promised it would be just 15 days to flatten the curve. Instead of 15 days, the lockdown has now gone on for over a year. Early on in the pandemic, as we all remember, there were projections that hospitals would be full and have to turn away people. Medical equipment was in short supply. Businesses were closing. What they hoped would be on a temporary basis as government started locking down their economies and telling people to stay home. At that time, when programs like PPP were created, no one was under the belief that we would still be doing this a year later with no end in sight.
And he's right. No end in sight. The pandemic was well used in 2020. And I remind you of something. I can remember in May, June, July, August, September, October. May, June, July, August, September, October. All those months. Dr. Fauci. He would get before the American people to remind us it's going to take a while to get any kind of a vaccine. Matter of fact, at the beginning of what was called Operation Warp Speed, which I'll mention this in a moment, I think that Operation Warp Speed was a totally fraudulent effort, pre-planned, and they had the president just sign off on what was already pre-planned. I think that Dr. Fauci knew every step of the way what the plans were and how this was going to roll out. He had known it for years. He knew it back in 2017 when he said the current president will face a pandemic.
There will be a surprise outbreak.
Now, remember, that was in January of 2017, just before Donald Trump was inaugurated president of the United States. Dr. Fauci is warning the new administration there's going to be a surprise outbreak. It's going to be a surprise. It's going to be big. It's going to be unexpected, but you better expect it. I really believe that they were making plans to undo Trump long before the election. They tried everything they could. They tried spying, but you know, you don't just have one plan. These evil people will have 1, 5, 10 different plans going at the same time. One of them might just work, or maybe more than one. And so there's the warning.
There will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak.
And so there you have it. About 3 years before we started talking about
COVID-19,
he's already teeing up this pandemic. And remember, it was people like Dr. Fauci and those that he and others knew using John Hopkins University, Bill Gates Foundation, all of these organizations put together Event 201 that had been planned for quite a long time. And it happened to, well, it happened to come out in October of 2019. And what news agency ever bothered to cover it? There was none. No reason to. Why would they? Are you following? Why would they cover such an event as Event 201, about some coronavirus that comes out of a pig in South America. And it was a tabletop exercise, but everything you would need, all the planning to respond to a global pandemic, the likes we had never seen before, was magically ready to be rolled out when needed in early 2020. So October of 2019, we get past Thanksgiving, Christmas, into January, with the news stories beginning to roll out about some strange virus in China. And maybe it could be something big. We're not sure, but it could be something big. Just stay tuned. And then we have our first case, and then we have our first death, and everything else that goes along with it. I get called out of retirement, and the rest is history. This entire thing rolled out. And the coronavirus task force, led by a rhino Republican by the name of Mike Pence, trying to make a name for himself. Think about it now. Hindsight is 2020. The powers that be were desperate to do something to stop the Trump train. The economy was good. Gas prices were cheap. Unemployment was at the lowest rate in 50 years. In minority communities, the lowest rate in anybody's mind. People buying homes. The economy was really humming along. And Democrats knew there was no way they could keep the White House or get it back unless something major happened. They tried the Russian collusion delusion hoax. They had tried everything. Strzok and Page struck out. And so they had this idea of ways of getting rid of Trump. Destroy his reputation. A pandemic that he can't control. Set him up for failure. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about setting him up for failure in just a couple of minutes after we take the break. And when I come back, I'll finish these thoughts regarding the 15 days to flatten the curve. And then I'm going to move on to something else. I just want to let you know that this radio program is only on the air because of your financial support. And I know that living in the Biden economy here in the United States, the Trudeau economy of Canada, it ain't great. I get it. Not good anywhere. The globalists are starving you down, ruining your finances, evaporating your money. I get it. And I've seen the giving down substantially here at Truth to Ponder. And I have to debate how to continue the program. We've been on WTWW, and I'm going to make my mind up by the end of this week what we need to do. And so I'm going to leave it up to you. Email, let me know that you listen, number one. And number two, the financial support is desperately needed. In order to really stay on, we're going to need to raise another couple of $1,000s into the budget going into April. That's just not there. And so I'm going to ask for you to prayerfully consider helping us out, maybe for the very, very first time. If you can, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. That's the numeral two, like a two, truth2ponder.com. And there's a tab on the menu that says support. And from there, you can use Give, Send, Go. It also gives the mailing address. But if you don't use the internet, just write this down. Make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. That's 24319. Somebody a couple of months ago suggested maybe I should consider taking precious metals as well for support. And I'm sure that could be accommodated. Just contact me. using my email address, bob@truth2ponder.com. bob@truth2ponder.com. It comes directly to me, nobody else. Once again, the mailing address, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, and the zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Yom HaShishi coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. All right, here's a Hebrew word for you. Yom HaShishi. Try it. Yom HaShishi. Yom means day. Shishi means the sixth day. So it's Friday, or actually Thursday night to Friday night. Sundown to sundown is Yom HaShishi. Begins Thursday night, ends Friday night at sundown. Real important day. Yom HaShishi is the day of our redemption. It's exactly that. You see, when did the Passion begin? It began as Yom HaShishi began at sundown Thursday night. Started with the Passover, the Last Supper. Then he was betrayed on Yom HaShishi, arrested and delivered up to be killed on Yom HaShishi. It began with Yom HaShishi as it began, and it ended as that day was ending. As the sun was going down, he was taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb. The stone was rolled away as Yom HaShishi came to its end. Why Yom HaShishi? Well, it's in Genesis is the answer. Yom HaShishi means the sixth day. That's when the Lord finished his works. Yom HaShishi is when he finished all his labors. It's over. And so Messiah said, it's over. It's finished. The fact that your redemption happened on Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, means it's wonderful. It means it's finished. The work is finished. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You don't have to struggle for it. You can't work for it, earn it, accomplish it. You see, it's finished. Your future victory is even finished. Your forgiveness is finished. Your calling's finished. Stop struggling and receive it. Messiah didn't redeem you on the first day. Then it would be incomplete, or the second, or third, or fourth. He redeemed you on Yom HaShishi. That means it's finished. Then he rested. You do the same. Want more? Ask for the sixth and seventh day on CD. Now, what if somebody offered you $1 million? Well, what would you say? Well, here's something better than all that. Something that'll help give you a strong and victorious life. A free subscription to Sapphires, vitamins for your spirit, and the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. All free. You'll love it. How do you get all this? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. So just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. But call now. You will be blessed. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, the harvest is great. Laborers are few. I invite you to join me in the harvest. You don't need a plow, just an open heart. You can literally blanket the world with the gospel on shortwave radio. We do it every week. It's incredible. You can be part. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a Nice Jewish Boy, 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, rest in his peace, in his finished work, my friend, in Messiah, Ben Elohim, the Son of God.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As you are hearing this program today, depending upon what time, I know the program goes out for first airing and as a podcast in the morning, around 11 o'clock Eastern time. It's on radio and as a podcast. We are probably, if it's in the morning, I'm at a doctor's appointment. And if you're hearing in the evening, we should be back home. It's a bit of a distance, but we should be back home by early evening. This is a follow-up to see how I am doing with my cancer. And I hope to have information I can share maybe Wednesday or Thursday of this week to let you know where things stand. I don't know right now, so keep me in your prayers as we continue to move forward. This battle's been going on for quite a while now. So, just so you know, I appreciate all the prayers and support you've given me during this time. I know there have been some programs that I've done that I have been very weak and very, it's not been easy. But I want to thank all of you that have stood with me along the way. My wife and I took on a lot of responsibility over this past year. I felt very led to open up a small mission church. It has been an absolute challenge. It is not easy to open up a church. A lot of people come, some go, and some stay, some don't. And it can be heartbreaking. And I understand there are times that people cannot make it. I really do. There are work reasons and others, but I would pray that as you're coming toward this Easter celebration this coming Sunday, that you will make a redoubled or retripled or quadrupled commitment to find yourself in the house of the Lord this weekend. Period. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of thyself, which is the manner of some, but even more so as you see the day approaching, the day of his return. Now, I want to finish up a few thoughts. Didn't have time to get them in the first segment regarding how this thing played out. And I may share a little, I'll kind of share a little bit more during the week. I'm going to start fading away from the 15-day story, but I just really wanted to remind you of what has happened in 4 years. I can remember it was probably in April. President Trump talked about we need to get things opened up and back to church for Easter, and that year it was the 12th of April in 2020. And sadly, most churches just chose not to open. But then again, some of what I call the apostate denominations that have pretty well spit on the Bible and burned it for all I, you know, they just reject it. Oh, it's just a book. They're all about social justice and transgenderism and gay marriage, rainbow stoles and all the nonsense, the Sparkle Creed and all this other garbage. Theological ignorance. Those apostate churches, as far as I'm concerned, they can stay closed. I actually pray back in 2020 that when some of these churches closed and when they started to do a couple of things that have two or three people all wearing their little face diapers, I'm going, Lord, let them stay closed for good. They're doing nothing for your, they're just apostate. The world would be better off without those reprobate-loving churches, sin-promoting churches. But a number of them opened up, but the good news is that about half their people never came back. They had a good excuse not to come. But sadly, some of the so-called Bible-believing churches, they took a major hit as well. And I know that even to this day, starting a church in 2023, you know, 3 years into this pandemic stuff, there were still people hesitant to go to church. I can remember being in a restaurant. It was last year, probably in the fall, maybe September, somewhere in there. Had lunch here in the big city of Chilhowee, a small little restaurant. And coming out from lunch with a friend, this lady that this guy knew, I didn't know her, comes up going, hi, I haven't seen you in so long. How are you doing? And she's wearing a face diaper. Follow me here. She is outside, just got out of a car. She had driven in wearing her face diaper to come to this restaurant. Are you following me so far? I mean, really, she's wearing a face diaper. And she's keeping her distance. And she's talking about how much she misses going to church. But you know what? The virus, you just can't go to church anymore. It's just a dangerous place to go to church. And I miss it so much. But and maybe someday, you never know, when Corona is eradicated. Hey, Christians went to church knowing the Romans could bust in there and crucify them or kill them. They feared God, not Rome. And we have people that don't fear God, but fear a virus. And so this lady's talking about how much she misses going to church, but you know, churches are just a dangerous place because you're going to get COVID. Yeah. And what she do? She walks into a crowded restaurant, sits down, and takes off her face diaper to eat. This is the kind of craziness that America fell into. And many people have been mentally damaged by people like Dr. Minnie Mengele Fraud Fauci and all the other proponents of some of these idiotic lockdowns. I can remember when Dr. Fauci was criticizing the idea of Operation Warp Speed. Now, we all know the outcome was predetermined a long time ago, and the experts had already been working on mRNA stuff for ages. Matter of fact, Moderna was pretty much on the verge of closing their doors because they never got an mRNA therapy of any kind to market. Everything they ever tried was an abject failure. And the guy, what's his name? Stefan Bancel is traveling the globe trying to raise money to keep their fancy offices going. Their research department was a revolving door. And he's raising billions of dollars and promising any day now there's going to be a breakthrough. By the way, Moderna was one of Fauci's favorites. And so Donald Trump, working off the information, I think some of his phony advisors, you know, backstabbing deep state advisors are telling him, he pushes Operation Warp Speed. We're going to dump a lot of money into this. We're going to get a vaccine to the market in record time. My experts say it can be done. And Fauci's going, not so fast. You know, it takes a long time to get these things to market. That's what he said. And then by the summer, his tune changed just a little bit. See, they knew the vaccines. I am convinced from the evidence that Dr. Fauci and many others, but not including Donald Trump, knew a vaccine was going to be ready. They knew it. They even knew the date. But they waited until after the election to make the announcement. Now, the reason I know that Dr. Fauci knew, and if he knew, Dr. Birx knew, and if Dr. Birx knew, the deep state knew, I think Joe Biden's people knew, who was running for president. It was a secret to Donald Trump and the American people, but those trying to steal the election, they knew exactly what was going on. And how do I know this? Because see, in the summer of 2020, listen to what Dr. Fauci had to say then.
You've probably heard that one of those vaccines, and there are more than one, there are several that are moving along at various paces. One of them will enter phase 3 study in July. This is one that has already shown in preliminary studies some very favorable response in the animal models that were developed. There will be others that will follow 1 month, 2 month, 3 months later. Although you can never guarantee at all the safety and efficacy of a vaccine until you actually test it in the field, we feel cautiously optimistic based on the concerted effort and the fact that we are taking financial risks, not risks to safety, not risks to the integrity of the science, but financial risks to be able to be ahead of the game so that when, and I believe it will be when and not if, we get favorable candidates with good results, we will be able to make them available to the American public, as I said to this committee months ago, within a year from when we started, which would put us at the end of this calendar year and the beginning of 2021.
Now that begs the question for me, what did Dr. Fauci know and when did he know it and what did he withhold? Do you hear me? What did he withhold? I believe he knew a lot more. He knew the folks over at the CDC and the FDA. He knew all the players. He knew everybody at Moderna. He knew a lot. And he knew, and he said it. By the end of 2020, the start of 2021, there'll be a vaccine. And he was right on it. Exactly. they knew it was going to come out, but they also knew several things. Number one, we don't want Trump in office, so you cannot announce a vaccine before the election, or you might bump up a percent or two of the American population to vote for Trump because he gave us a successful vaccine to combat COVID. Lord have mercy on us if Trump would win, huh? Whatever your Lord is, probably Moloch or Ishtar or something like that. Certainly not the holy God of the Bible. By the way, Fauci doesn't even care about his old faith growing up. He's, you know, nah, don't need it. It's all about Fauci. But they knew. And they waited for about a week after the election of 2020. Then they told us what they had already known. They say it was October. I think that Fauci knew it when he made that statement in the summer, how this is going to pan out. And amazingly, at the end of December, we started rolling out the vaccine. And then one group at a time, as they're making this stuff, could get it in early 2021. You know the story. Then all you have to do is just have the disinformation campaign to squash the story in the New York Post about the Hunter Biden laptop. Add hundreds of thousands of mail-in suspicious ballots. And the election was in the bag for slow Joe Biden. No doubt in my mind about it. Governors, world leaders, they became drunk on power from the coronavirus. They were like petulant kings, demanding their serfs do this or that or the other for their entertainment. You must stay home. You are non-essential. You can go to work. You're needed because you work for government, or you work for the liquor store, or you work at the marijuana store. You're essential. Liquor, marijuana, Walmart, Amazon, all essential. You at that restaurant that you and your wife put in 20 years of your life and sweat to build, you're going to probably go bankrupt. Too bad. You know, it's the virus, you understand. That was the sick mentality going on at the time. Essential, non-essential. And there's a lot more to the idea of being essential or non-essential than meets the eye. And this is where I want to spend part of the program as we finish out today. I can remember, as I mentioned on the first half of the program, talking with this lady who managed a group of small radio stations. And, you know, she wasn't all that wealthy in that job. It was just smaller stations. And her husband had started a business several years before that's been just beginning to finally get some traction. And she was trying to determine if her husband's business would be deemed essential or non-essential because it could ruin the business if they're closed for more than a few weeks. Well, she was worrying about 2 weeks, which became 45 days. Which became 60, which became 90, which became 52 weeks. Day 367, as you heard in that audio clip earlier, to flatten the curve. It was a fraud. And of course, I think the powers that be already knew. Yeah, they'd already tested. Would the American people buy 15 days? And once they're locked down, would they buy a little more? And how do you keep the fear alive through the media? You know that Mind Syphilis NBC will say any lie you prepare for them. So will CNN. They're journalistically, morally, and ethically bankrupt anyway, so they don't care about lying. It's what they do best. The truth is not even in them. And they knew that some of the woke individuals over at Fox that are now in the upper management chairs, they'll go along too. And if anybody crosses the line, Tucker Carlson, you won't be around for long. Even Newsmax stands in fear of calling the election stolen. At least management does. And so they knew they were going to roll this vaccine out. What I don't know, I can speculate all that I want. How many people knew the dangers of this vaccine? How many people knew as it rolled out that it didn't work or may not work or may pose incredible dangers? We see some of the data leaking out from all the trials and everything else that were done, and even to get the approval for the one for the vaccine you'll never get from either Moderna. Their FDA approved was never manufactured. Either was Pfizer's. You can't get it. Big dog and pony show. We talked about it last week. Yeah, they knew they were lying. They knew it was a lie. I can remember them saying, it's 100% effective. 100%. Take the vaccine, you won't get COVID. It was that simple. You take the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID. If you're a college student, if you want to come back to Yale or Harvard or anywhere, you got to be vaccinated or you can't come on our campus, you super spreader killer. And now we see this uptick in diseases in college-age students, unprecedented. And the media says nothing to see here, just one of those things. SADS, sudden adult death syndrome with healthy people dying on soccer fields. Oh, it happens all the time, didn't you notice? One lie being perpetuated after the other after the other. And see, then they went from 100% efficacy, you'll never get COVID. You'll be COVID-proof. You'll be bulletproof from the COVID gun. You can even take your face diaper off if you comply. You must do as the government demands. They were trying to demand that businesses with 100 people or more, if you didn't have the shot, you had to be fired. They did the same with the military. I believe that all those officers that to this day will not stand up and realize they were wrong should be court-martialed and lose their pensions at minimum, then investigated for why they pushed this stuff. And then the lie went from 100% effective to, well, it gives you minimum symptoms and wards off the possibility of death. Okay? So it minimizes your symptoms. It doesn't make you COVID-proof, but if you should get it one time, the symptoms will be lowered and your odds of dying would be significantly lower. That turned out also to be a lie. I pointed out in no uncertain terms, this virus began to naturally, and then with the, it morphed its way down, where the symptoms became less, but it was more contagious. A lot of people had it and barely knew they had it. Now they have natural immunity, except those that keep getting the vaccine. It seems the people that come down with COVID 2, 3, even 4 times or more are fully vaccinated. Very suspicious. It didn't make you COVID-proof. It didn't stop you from getting it multiple times. It's naturally waning, the virus, so to speak, waning down, made it very contagious, but not as deadly. And they're trying to give credit to the vaccine. And yet we have huge upticks in deaths, heart issues, turbo cancer. And we'll talk about some of those things tomorrow. What did they know and when did they know it and what did they willfully withhold from you and I? Those are the questions that if by some miracle here in the United States or other parts of the world, you can get an honest government, they have to be answered and people have to be held accountable. Because if we don't, we have no chance as a nation, a hemisphere, or even a world of ever seeing freedom restored again. We lost a lot of freedom that we've never been able to get back since. This ministry is something that I thought about literally almost 4 years ago. I was doing a weekend program at that time. I was still working in emergency management. I was thinking, you know, what could I do? And I was using my weekend show to talk about what I understood at that time. But after the truth started becoming really apparent as we got through March and into April and then into May, and I knew that I was being asked to literally lie to people, when I began to see the truth, I left. And by the time my wife and I got back to our place in the mountains in Georgia, little place we had up there, because once again, we didn't know how this is going to pan out. We wanted to get out of a crowded town because, you know, we're in our 60s, we're vulnerable. And I'm technically retired, so we went and kind of hid up in the mountains for a while. And it was during that time I kept realizing we're being lied to. And the idea of Truth to Ponder was born probably in June of 2020. I thought about just doing a little video podcast thing once or twice a week. And then I realized the power of shortwave radio is still there. Not as big as it used to be, but it's still a viable option. And so I thought about it and said, man, wouldn't it be great to be on shortwave maybe once a week? Maybe. And the opportunity came to be on 5 nights a week. Well, 4 nights on one frequency and 5 on another. And I was talking to a dear friend about the idea, and I said, I'd love to do it, but I'm not sure how much it's going to cost. And this one friend said, hey, how much would it cost to be on the air for the first 3 months? And I said, I'll find out. I did. And he sent me a check and said, try it for 3 months. And so the program launched at the end of August of 2020. And we've been on the air ever since. We've expanded some of the time at WTWW. We used to be on station out of Simi Valley, California, KVOH. But because of the cost of operation, they had to shut down and dismantle. So we lost that one voice. We're still a podcast. You can find at our website how to hear it as a podcast. And we've been trying WTWW, but the cost of doing it is becoming prohibitive. If things don't change, we may just try to negotiate a little bit better at WRMI. Hard to say. Do you believe in our mission and ministry here? We'll talk more about what I think the show should become tomorrow, what it could become, what I think it needs to become. But for now, we have bills coming in because the next new month is starting next week. Would you today consider supporting us online using our website, truth2ponder.com? There's a tab for support at the website, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia. Zip code is 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.